I know, as Brother G mentioned, we've been going through a series in this season because God impressed upon me the importance of learning how to love like Jesus did. Amen. And when you look at that, that's more than a notion.
Yes, sir.
When you think about who he is, that he is God the Son.
Yes.
He came all the way from face to face with the Father to take on flesh. So he, as the theologians say, he divested himself of total equality with the Father.
Amen.
In order to do the great work of redemption. And that was for the Father's sake, because he loves us.
Yes.
See, that was the motivation in the Godhead. This was before man ever fell into sin.
Mm-hmm.
So God already knew what would happen.
Yes, he did.
And he knew how he would get us back.
Mm-hmm.
And set us in right fellowship with him again.
Mm-hmm.
See, so it was no surprise when Adam sinned. God was not, oh, it didn't take him by surprise at all. He already knew, because he had already planned the fix even before the foundation of the world. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. See, so before the foundation of the world, he was already thinking about you and me who are saved. Hey man, you know what? He's thinking about the other folk out here that's not saved. That's what I want to serve us all notice, because it's his desire, let's put it this way, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. See, so that tells you what our duty is as we serve the Lord. He wants us to reach the rest of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. You see what I'm saying? So that's our, not only our duty, but it should be our pleasure that we can reach out and share the good news with someone else. Now, how could Jesus do this? What was his motivation? That's one word we would say. Or what was his impetus? What gave him a drive to cease from equality with the Father, to be confined to the womb of a female, a virgin at that, for 9 months, just like me and you, to be born into the world coming through a birth canal just like we did, and come into the world and live in the world with no sin for over 30 years, 33 and a half years, the last 3.5 years with his earthly ministry, we call it.
Amen.
And what would compel you to do something like that? Just think about that for a little bit. If you're sitting there, you got no troubles, no worries, all is great. And you know man's going to sin, but and Dr. Adams has uttered the right answer, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, that means to go to hell, but should have everlasting life. See, and so he did this before the foundation of the world. Jesus decided to come down. He said, Father, prepare me a body and I'll go down and redeem them. So what his motivation was, just simply put, is that he had a deep love for mankind. And so that's why we picked this title for this message today, Beholding the Depths of God's Love. But that's what we're doing. We're talking about how can we get around to make folks like me, who's not such a nice person all the time, love people like God did.
Yeah.
What does it take to get you to love people like God did?
Yeah.
And like he does.
Yes.
See, I say dead, I speak in the past tense, because Christ was crucified about 2,000 and some years ago. We would say 2019 marks the date of his crucifixion. So it's been 2,000 years. The church has been tasked with the privilege to preach the gospel to the world.
Yeah.
You know what? Not all the world has heard the gospel yet. And now today we got contradiction and controversy against the gospel. People are saying, oh, well, that's your religion. Keep that to yourself. But you know what they were saying it back then? Nothing existed called Christianity. When Jesus came, it was a brand new thing. You see? And it did not stop him after he got about the grave after 3 days and 3 nights, declaring, all power is given to me, Matthew 28:18, in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, he said. Go into all the world, teach and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So our duty before God won't be changing. Let me let you know.
That's right.
It's not going to change, because he said, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the world.
Right.
So how long are we supposed to preach the gospel? And to the world? world don't be no more.
Right.
Preach to the end of the world. That's what he said.
Right.
So I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what's PC, politically correct. I have to be biblically correct. God said preach the word. He said preach it in season and out of season. I mean, whether they want to hear it or they don't. So we live, we move it into a season when people don't want to hear it. See, you know what? They didn't want to hear it then.
There's
a lot of folks then didn't want to hear it. You know, because we have a religious position and we are trying to uphold our religious position. But your religious position can't get people out the grave. What Jesus did can restore you even after the grave. So what's better? Who else got out the grave? That's all I like to ask. I like to start off, let the cat out the bag early. Who else got up out the grave? So who else has authority to get me out the grave? If you can't get out the grave, Buddha, I can't talk to you, brother. I can't talk to you because your grave is still there and you're still in it. I can't talk to anyone that can't get you out the grave. I'm excited about the resurrection. We talked about that last week. See, so I need somebody who can take my soul and transform me from death to life. If you can't do that, you can't help me. And that's what Jesus did, and he proved it. He's the only one who has proven it. All they had to do to cancel the church was say, oh, here's that dead body right here. There wouldn't be no church. But you know what? He was risen. He got up, they went to check. They even guarded the tomb. Y'all know I like to talk about this. I'm going to digress just a minute. Who guards a tomb? What you guarding it for? Is he dead? Come on now. Why you got to have a guard on a tomb? Please explain. That's crazy, isn't it? We don't think like that, do we? Why, because folk who went in the grave, we don't have to worry about them no more. That's it. So why would you guard a tomb? That's my question. And the answer is because they knew Jesus already said. They saw him raise others from the dead before he went in there. He went and waited and let Lazarus lay in there for 4 days. And then the sisters say, Lord, don't roll away the stone. He's stinking. We don't want to have to be subjected to that scent. It's already bad enough. We hurting without him. He said, roll away the stone. He said, don't you know who you're talking to? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he who liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this. Do you believe this? That's the gospel. The fact that he is able to deliver you. So let me just add this, and I'm going to digress one more minute before we get to this. But I'll try not to be too long with you. What else do you have going on that's not right, that's bothering you? I got some arthritis, huh? Oh, my kids won't do right. Whatever kind of thing. You know what? That's a small problem compared to what Lazarus' problem was, isn't it? Don't you think he can help you? Oh, I'm on drugs. I'm addicted to drugs. Oh, I'm addicted to adultery or eating too much food or whatever you want to say, all the stuff that's in. Oh, I got a problem with it. Don't you think he can help you with that?
Yes, he
can. Can he help you with inordinate lust or whatever else it is you might be dealing with?
He can.
You let him do it, he'll help you. He can help you with hatred and animosity towards somebody who did you wrong.
Yes, he will.
He's able to help you. See, he can help you with the small stuff because I went on to the superlative, the worst thing that could happen to you. And I dealt with that. And I did it for you. Because I love you. And if you just put your hand in my hand, I can help you with all that other stuff. That stuff is trivial compared to this grave situation. See, trust him. He can get you free. You know why he got me free off a lot of stuff? I still have some junk. I'm going to confess today. Y'all might want to act like y'all pristine and y'all church folk. But I'm going to tell you now, I still have some stuff that's twisted that ain't right. You know, I'm not proud of it, but I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. But you know what? I've talked to him about it. Are you talking to him about yours? That's all I want to say. Is are you discussing your problems with him? If you are, he is going to give you a solution.
Yes, he will.
Let's move into this and we'll try to get you done so the biscuits won't get cold. Okay, so I say, be said that all things are supposed to learn as being, the things that we're supposed to learn being disciples of Jesus could be sifted down into our annual challenge, which is extracted from John 13 and 35 as taught by Jesus. And our ongoing theme for this year, which is learning to love like Jesus. And by this, he said, all men shall know that ye are my disciples. So what is the badge of your discipleship? That you, if ye have love one to another. So that's what we got to do. Forget all the rituals and ceremonies and all that. You know, because they're not going to help you. How much can I love my brother and my sister? How much can I love my enemy? See, that one, we really don't want to hear that. Can I love my enemy? You know, that's hard, isn't it? Jesus loved his enemy. The Bible says we are all enemies of God. But when he sent his son, he called us to be his friends. So think about that. Now, in the word here, this is what I want you to say. Now, I want you to hear it. Last week's message prepared us for this topic today that we're going to call Beholding the Depths of God's Love. Read with me Malachi 1 and 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see,
and ye shall say,
the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Unto you, O priests that despise my name, wherein have we despised thy name? They play kind of ignorant there. We'll talk about that in just a minute. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the Old Covenant Word of God. Now for the New Testament, I want you to read this. This is famous. You know this by heart, most of you, and you've heard it many times. 1 Corinthians 13. This is called the Great Love chapter of the Bible. Let's read. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there be gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there be tongues, they shall cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial shall be done away. And when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. But now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but when I know, I have also have been fully known. But now abide faith, hope, love, abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy and inerrant word. And I make one correction. That is not the KJV. That's actually the NASB. I see a note, little typo there. So this is the New American Standard rendering of 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13. Amen. But in either case, we want to talk about beholding the depths of God's love. Now, the first thing I just want to mention in passing is Paul, who writes this letter to the church at Corinth. He was one that was on both sides of the equation that we know right well. He hated the church. He was religious. He was a religious fanatic. He had been raised in Judaism. And when this church thing came about and Jesus came on the scene and started baptizing people, he didn't like it. He was against it. He said, oh no, this has got to go. This is worse than a heresy. Because all the stuff they're saying, he wasn't there. He didn't see all the miracles, all that kind of stuff. But he heard about how the church was catching hold when Jesus came and began to do great miracles and signs and wonders that God had done to show the Jews that he was God. And he heard about it. All of them heard about it. All the religious leaders, all the false religionists, everybody heard about it. But Paul was one of them who sided with the folks who hate the church. I hate the church. And not only do I hate it, but I'm zealous. I'm going to get rid of the church. So I'm going to go to all the religious leaders. I'm going to go to the Roman authorities, which was the government that was in charge at that time. Think about this. Rome was in the place where the United States is now. The most powerful nation on the planet at that time. In control of everything. Had their foot on everything. Had their armies watching everything. They were in charge. The Caesar was the highest guy on the planet. See, and so Paul said, well, you know what, I'm going to go to Caesar and get papers. I'm going to the Sanhedrin, the highest religious office, and I'm going to get papers, and I'm going to go down there to Damascus. We ran them out of town already. We whooped them and beat them and killed them and flogged them, threw some of them in the jail, and they split up and started going everywhere. He thought that was his will, but God wanted them to be scattered. Because he wanted the gospel to get to the ends of the earth. So it was necessary for them to not be comfortable here in Jerusalem. Get moving. Get out into the world. And they wouldn't leave. And he had told them to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they were sitting there comfortable in Jerusalem. Sometimes when you get comfortable, God will move you. Did you know that? We don't like to hear that. But God will move you. If he wants you not to be comfortable, I'll move you. If you're getting complacent and you're starting to get out of my will and not do what I said, I can move your situation. See? And so God will do that. He'll take you out of a comfort zone and put you somewhere where you might be a little uncomfortable, but you're in his will. The difference is, am I in God's will? That's where my heart should be focused, is am I in God's will? That's the only thing that's important. You know what? I can't let stuff in the world, stuff, popularity, all that kind of stuff, get in the way. It's, are you in God's will?
Yes, sir.
That's the big thing. So Paul knew that he was going to get rid of this church. That's what was in his heart. But he didn't know that when you're on your way down there, you're going to have an encounter with Jesus. On the road, that one who you hate. On the road to Damascus. While you're on your way, I'm going to show you who you were, what you were born for, Saul. And he asked him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? Saul fell from his beast. He saw a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. If you can imagine that. Wow, the sun sometimes is woo, something else. He saw something brighter than the sun.
Hallelujah.
And he fell to the earth. He said, who art thou, Lord? I know you got to be, God. And he said, Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Those old goads they used to put on animals to make them do right.
Yes,
so you start kicking these goads, they're going to stick you and make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah,
they put them on their feet, have little needles in it. So when you start kicking, them needles are going to start sticking you. And then you're going to stop that kicking. That's why it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And then he said, well, who art thou, Lord? That's the only thing I need to know. Please tell me, who are you? He said, you know, remember that Jesus that you hate? Yeah, that's me. Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, Lord, what would you have me to do? He told him, go on down there where you was going. You thought you was going for what you was going for. But I got something else, another reason why you're going. Don't you know that God will change your destination, or he'll change your reason for where you're going? And when you get there, you have another reason why I'm showing up here. You see? So he went on down there and he got baptized, and you see his great scales fell as they were off his eyes. And he could see now. He thought he could see before, but now I can see what God is saying in his word. I can understand who God is. See? I know exactly why I was born now. I'm ready to step out now with the truth and move forward. I got to get this gospel. You know what? He was the most busy dude in the Middle East for the gospel. Once he got turned around and knew what he was supposed to do, then he realized the reason you have all that Bible knowledge, Saul, is because I was preparing you to carry my word to the ends of the earth. See? And so he got busy for God. I want to ask the question here before we go any further. Are you ready to roll up your sleeves and get busy for God?
Yes.
Are you still want to run around a little circle we've been running around? We have a choice. We can run around that circle, or we can tune in to the Lord and watch and see what he will do. It's not important how anybody else thinks about what we do. You know what? I'm not going to be checking in with Trump to find out if he like what I'm doing. I'm not going to check in with him. But one day I'm going to check in with him. And I want to make sure what I'm doing is pleasing to him. That's where I'm at. See, so God will modify your course. So I want you to understand, the way you love is what has to change. Look at the difference between what Saul did and what he started to do. You know what? He hated the church so much, I'm going to bust it up. I'm not going to just hate it and say I hate it and sit over here on my sofa. I'm going to get up and go down and bust this up. He was zealous to do the wrong thing. And it doesn't make any difference what we're doing is wrong. The thing is, do you want to do right? If you do, God says, I'm here to help you. I'm here to energize whatever it is you want to do. I'm here to give you new understanding about who you are and what I want you to do. If you stay with me, I'm going to show you what reason why you were born. And you're going to find out. So the fact is, the reason that the Lord did this, he wasn't really like mad at Saul. He knew all about him. You know what? He loved Saul of Tarsus. There's people in your life who aren't doing what you think they ought to be doing. Guess what? He loves them too. He knows what they're doing. He knows where they're at. And he knows where you are. So what am I going to do? I'm going to touch my people.
Yes.
And give them, that's why it says in that one verse y'all love, y'all know this one. It says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land.
Yes.
That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. See, if you are his people, you're called by his name. What does that mean? We call ourselves Christians.
Yes.
If you humble yourself and pray, don't be too proud. Humble yourself and pray. James said, humble yourself. Peter said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And he will exalt you in due time. There's coming a day of exaltation for the people of God. If we can just get through the humility, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, he's going to exalt you in due time. He knows about all your problems. He knows about your trouble. And he loves you.
Amen.
So you can hold on. You know what? I can take a little trouble.
Yeah.
I can take a little discomfort. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have everything roses.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I can take a little flack from somebody. Mm-hmm. If I'm in the will of God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he said. He scourges every son of whom he receives. But what I want you to see here is easy for the people of God to get twisted sometimes. Look at Malachi chapter 1. This was the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. Those are the covenant people of the Old Testament. We will call them the Jews today. By Malachi, the prophet, he says, I have loved you. That's God, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? We feel like that sometimes. God, if you really love me, you give me this, you give me that, or you let me do this, or you let me do that. And what God says, I love you exactly like you are. I know where you are. I know what you want. I know why you want it. You know what? I know all about you. And I love you. Just just like you are.
Yes.
You might be thinking, oh, I don't know, God didn't let me do this or that. Some people are so discontent. I talk with a lot of people about different things, and I find a lot of discontentment in people's lives. You know what God is saying? I love you just like you are. Sometimes you're not content because you haven't found where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. When you get to that thing that God has made you for, and it makes your heart sing, this is what I really love.
Hallelujah.
Then God's going to turn some things on,
yes, sir,
and move you into the where you need to be, just like he did Saul. The Jews have been so complacent because, oh, we're God's people. We're the covenant people. And they start doing it their own way instead of doing it God's way. He says, it's written that wherein hast thou loved us, they asked. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? The Lord gives for an answer. Comes right out of the word, the Old Testament. Said the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau because Esau wouldn't do right. He didn't want to do it God's way. Jacob wanted it so bad he had to snow Esau out of his birthright. I want to do God's will. I don't care what it takes. Yeah, that wasn't good what he did, but he loved God. He knew Esau didn't think anything of God.
Yep.
So you got some folks like that. I got some in my family. I'm not going to talk about your family. I got some folks who ain't studying God, as we would say.
Yeah, I know that.
Ain't studying you.
Ain't studying.
But you know what? God knows all about it. But this is what happened to Esau. He laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. That's the way to say he let him turn him right over to the flesh and to the devil. That's what these dragons represent. Whereas Edom says, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. People keep on trying to do stuff their way. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down.
Yes.
And they shall, they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. So they're going to keep trying to do it their way,
yeah,
but they're not going to get anywhere.
Amen.
And you know what? God loved them too.
Mm-hmm.
Folks who ain't studying God, he loves them. He wants them to do right.
Yes, sir.
He's pleading with them. That's why he set up a church. He didn't set up any kind of another organization. The church is the only correct representative of God on the planet.
Amen.
And he chose the weak things, the things that look weak, like old St. Timothy,
yeah,
or old Brother Johnson, or Brother Fisher, or he picks people who you wouldn't even suspect. Brother Cecil, whoever we got. See? But the fact is, he knows you. And he calls you because he wants people to know. When you hear a word from them and you get saved, it's not because of them.
That's right.
It's because of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact is, the people of Esau did not ever seek the Lord. But the Lord will be magnified in the borders of Israel. He said, your eyes shall see. You are my witnesses. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Y'all say these things, but is it true? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised your name? Sometimes we play dumb. That's what these people seem to be doing. We don't know when we did you that way, Lord. We thought we was your people.
Yes, sir.
But God writes them to get their attention.
Oh, yeah.
He wants your attention. He wants you to pay attention to me.
Yes.
Like I've been paying attention to you.
Yeah.
You know, I know you. I know you're rising up and you're going down. I know you're coming in and you're going out. I know everything about you.
Wow.
So don't misunderstand who I am. The reality of how God sees our religious actions is displayed throughout the Old Testament, and perhaps even more obvious here in Malachi, where God reveals that his desired position for all believers is that of a father and a son.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that? God wants to treat you like a father and you like a son. That's the type of relationship, this closeness, rather than any other use. He could have said, like for example, when Jesus told them, I'm going to teach you how to pray, what did he say? He said, tell them, our Father.
Yeah.
He could have said, our Creator.
Yeah.
Our Redeemer.
Yeah.
Our Master. He could have said any of that. That's true, though. Isn't all of them are true?
Yeah.
But what did he say? He said, our Father. So that parental relationship is what God wants you to have with him.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to say, my judge, although he will be your judge.
That's right.
But he says, pray our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
hallowed be thy name. Some of us say, well, our, my father was not so swell. And that might be so, but your heavenly Father is the best.
Amen.
And he loves you just like you are.
Amen.
So no matter what you went through with an earthly father, he says, I'm your heavenly Father and I got your back.
Yes.
And you know, let me make it more plain. How did you get in the kingdom of God? That other father, you had nothing to do with it.
Right.
He begot you and you got in the world and you're here. Mm. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Yeah.
But he said, that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Yeah.
So that's how you got to be his child. It was a spiritual birth. You were born again, except the man be born again, he said. He cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So that's how God wants to be your father. I want you to have a spiritual rebirth and realize I got you. I don't know what your earthly father did, but I got you. Got you covered. You don't have to worry about it. Now your father's the Most High.
Yeah.
The king of the world, the king of the universe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see? And so basically being born again, that's what it requires.
Yes.
So to the call to everyone is to be a disciple. God didn't say you have to be a rocket scientist.
Right.
Just be a disciple.
Amen.
In other words, have a commitment to learning.
Yeah.
From me.
Amen.
Go somewhere, sit under the word.
Yes, sir.
So somebody can teach you what God says.
Amen.
And help you understand how he wants you to be. It's not even important what I want you to be.
Right.
God says, I got something for you to do, and I will give you instruction from my word.
Mm-hmm.
Straight from my word, through the Holy Spirit who is in you, into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so basically being a disciple who follows Jesus by learning to love one another, that's what he said, as he has loved us. Look at how Jesus loved us.
Mm-hmm.
Came in the world. People criticized him from the time he got in. They talked about his mother. Oh, your mother is she ain't right. She's an unrighteous woman.
Mm-hmm.
She slipped up and got pregnant before she was married.
Mm-hmm.
Called him out his name.
Yep.
All of that. But God had planned it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was written in the word. It was not true what they said. It was a false accusation. So we should be able to take a little criticism, false accusation, somebody talking about you, don't really know you.
Amen.
You know, he been through it, he went through it, so if it happens to you, who am I? Why should I be upset?
Yes.
It happened to him. Let him talk about you. Doesn't mean a thing. God knows exactly who you are.
Yes.
And you do too. So learn to take a little flack without fighting back. I'm going to just coin that as kind of a little something. I'm a poet and don't know it. But in either case, he loves you. And it is described in great detail by the Apostle Paul in the letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth using the term agape, which is the word that's translated in the old KJV, charity.
Yes.
It's translated in the NASB, which we read today, love. But we have to break it down because in English we use love like kind of like a dish rag or something. We use it every which way. You know. But in the Greek it means charity is probably not a bad translation because it means you're gonna be doing something.
Right.
It's not what you feel, it's not a feeling.
That's right.
See, it's what you are doing.
Amen.
It's you're going out of your way to do something for someone else.
Right.
See, and it's not about good works, I'm not trying to tell you that. But love has action.
Yes.
See, it gets up and does the will of God.
Amen.
I don't just sit and talk about the will of God.
Right.
I'm gonna get up and do the will of God.
Amen.
See, I'm gonna put some shoe leather,
yes,
on what God said.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna walk and talk what God said.
Right,
I'm gonna take some flack and not fight back because God said so.
Right.
I'm gonna let folk talk about me and dog me and all that. That's okay. But I'm gonna pray for you instead of arguing with you.
Right.
See, that kind of thing. So that's what this agape or agape means. And it's the most highest form of love. And it is taught in the 13th chapter here that we just read, which reveals the vast distance between the difference of what love really is. And it teaches us lifelong lessons that we must set as a target in the pursuit of our Christ-likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Love, this kind of love is way different than the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
See, we get offended real easy.
Yes, we do.
But Paul said, looking at the Corinthian epistle again, he says, if I speak with the tongues, in other words, no matter what I say of men and angels,
mm-hmm,
but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It's a bunch of noise. Don't mean nothing, just talk. Even songwriters will say that you're talking loud but saying nothing. Y'all know about that, right? And so he said, that's all it is if it's just talk. If you have a gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if you have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. What's the motivation for the stuff you do?
Amen.
The things you're doing, even in the church or even for God.
Mm-hmm.
If I give all my possessions, you're a philanthropist, to feed the poor and surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. What is the attitude that you have while you're doing what you do for God? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Yeah, you did me wrong, but I'm not going to turn around and do you wrong. See, it's not tit for tat. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. If it's not right, we don't rejoice in it, but we rejoice with the truth. We bear all things. This is where we fall short. I'm going to talk for me now. I don't know about y'all. Y'all probably got all this together. Y'all said, hurry up, preacher. The roast is about to burn. Love never fails. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endure all things. In other words, I got a long fuse before I blow up.
Yeah.
You can put a whole lot on my plate. I'm not going to go off on you. I'm going to look at you, pray for you. I'm going to do like James told me, shut my mouth. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. See, that's real love. Sometimes you hear what you don't like, and immediately you got about a thousand things you want to say. We can't just hold back and say, let me pray about this. You know why? Because I think we get so accustomed to letting our emotions run our lives. And your emotions are the most shallow sphere in your existence. That's why the movie people get y'all for so much. Well, I can get your mind wrapped in this movie and I can fluctuate your emotions. Next thing you know, I got y'all running and screaming. You can be sitting there crying, oh, that's so terrible. And it didn't even really happen. It's just a movie. Oh, don't he love her so much? The emotional sphere. See, I can get in there and I can control you. I know how to manipulate you. See, because I can mess with your emotions. The song singing and all that, all about your emotions. See, but we got to get deeper than the emotions. We got to get into the realities of the truth. That's why we have to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails. If you get on this agape, you will never fail. That's what Paul told the Philippians, right? But if there be gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. That's the way of saying God said, I'm going to shut everybody's mouth when it's all over. Tongues will cease. If there is knowledge, he says it will be done away.
Yes.
So sometimes we know a whole lot. We got a lot of book sense, but we don't treat people right.
Uh-huh.
See? So book sense without treating people right is not good and it's not love.
Yeah.
But we know in part. We don't know everything. And we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. He said, when I was a child, now he expects spiritual growth. He's talking about your spiritual growth. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, I think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. We have to grow up in the truth. But now we see in a mirror dimly. In other words, we don't have the full-blown view of exactly what God is doing, but we can see dimly somewhat as in a mirror. But then when we see him face to face, somebody got a song like that to say, well, when I see Jesus, they're going to say, amen. Face to face in all of his glory. It's going to be an awesome thing. He says, but then he says, I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. And now I abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You need faith. Faith comes by hearing. And I cannot emphasize this enough. People think faith is part of your emotional system. And it isn't. Faith faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I got to get this information in here. See, I got to get this in here. It ain't going in now either, y'all. I'm just doing that to symbolize. It goes in when you open it and you understand it, and when you hear it preached. Somebody say, I'm going to put my Bible under my pillow. That ain't going to help you get up and come to church. Come to Sunday school. That's going to get you together. I heard one person say, well, I keep my Bible open to Psalm 23 on the coffee table. I said, oh, you do? Okay, well, why don't you go in there and read it, and then go to 24 and 25 and all of that. It's going to get in your head, but you got to hear it. That's why God said that the house shall they hear without a preacher. He said, how beautiful are the feet. People go out and do something for God and take the word out into the streets. See, and that's what he wants us to do. And you know what? He gave you the onboard teacher. The Holy Spirit is in you. If you believe the gospel, God's given you the Holy Spirit so I can explain stuff to you. I can give you the ability to arrest your tongue instead of you talk and say what's on your mind. Sometimes we say, oh, I gave you a piece of my mind. And that's not a good piece either. Sometimes it's a pretty bad piece of your mind. So, but the Spirit of God will regulate your tongue. And James says the tongue is evil. It's the most evil member in the body. Full of deadly poison. He said it's set on fire by hell. Y'all might say, oh, preacher, I don't want to see that. It's in there. And my pastor used to tell me back, he said, you know what, you got two of mostly everything. But anything God only gave you one of, you better put it in check. Think about that. And then he said the one he gave you only got one tongue, and he put it in a cage. He locked that baby in a cage because he knows you need to keep that thing caged. Better watch what you say. So don't let him lose all. You can do some great damage. You see, but the love of God is on display at all times and is most vividly manifested as we look at the cross, where Jesus, the only righteous one, was crucified, and God his Father was glad, and above all, he was satisfied by the obedience of Christ to his word.
Yes.
He was satisfied so well that everyone coming to him by faith in Jesus can be assured of the acceptance of God, and by this act alone, God made it simple. What reason do you have not to come to God? I'm going to ask that question. The answer is you have none. Why? Because God did everything to be satisfied. He gave his son. He was crucified on the cross. He took there all the sin of everyone who believes in him. And he died and satisfied God. He hung there till the sun didn't shine. Sun went away. I can't even put no sunlight on that. Why? Because the sun is hanging on the cross. And he took all the sin of everyone who trusts in God. See? And he cried out, and God himself forsook him on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, came crashing out through the mountains and bouncing off the walls. Why have you forsaken me? And the reason was, God said, I can forsake you because you are God. You don't need my coverage. You God already. You was God when I sent you down there. You're still God hanging on the cross. And all that they did to you didn't take you out. Sin didn't take you out because you didn't do anything. So I can just let you hang there. And he let him hang there between heaven and earth. Another reason was symbolic, because he's the only mediator between heaven and earth. See? The only mediator. There is no other. If you were worried about or trying to figure out what religion is the right one, the one where the son was crucified and all hell and everything was cast up on him along with all your sin, and he still was alive. Until he asked for, give me a drink to fulfill the scripture. And then they gave him a sponge dipped in sour wine and put it up to his mouth. And he spit it out and said, it is finished. What's finished? The work of redemption is completely finished.
Yes.
You know what? We don't add anything to that.
Right.
Nothing. And God gives you faith to believe it. That's why when they took Jesus, before they took him down, the centurion said, I got to make sure he dead first before I turn over this body. He took the spirit. and ripped up right up through his ribs into his heart. And John said, I saw blood and water. And the water was from the pericardial sac around the heart, and the blood from the heart muscle itself, gushing out of his side. And he gave up the ghost. He had already given up the ghost before that happened. You know what he said? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Even before the centurion pierced him. But he was pierced because the scripture said he would be pierced for our transgressions. Wounded for our transgressions. And all of that was all fulfillment of scripture. And he did that so you and me can be 100% certain that we're saved. All you have to do is believe him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever, that means doesn't make any difference who you are. Trust Jesus and you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If he'd like to adopt you today, let me ask everyone to stand. If you're here today and you are not saved, we give you that opportunity. Amen. That you can come at this time. You can come as a Christian with experience or a candidate for baptism. Amen. But either way, we invite you to come. If you're already saved and you just need a church home, we invite you to come at this time. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for you. Amen. Sister Kim is coming. Okay. All right. We thank God for you. Would there be another? Amen. Come at this time. The door is open. It's been open ever since Jesus hung, bled, and died. And he said, come on in right now. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. Amen. You may come at this time as a Christian with Christian experience, or you may come as a new believer. Either way. Amen. We open the door. And we thank God for you. Amen. We have done as God commands. Amen. We're going to go right ahead and hear from Sister Kim. But you can still come at this time. We want to leave the door open. Let's give them time to get settled. Amen. We want to invite you today. We would love to have you be a member here at St. Timothy. We have got some visitors. Want to let y'all know you're welcome here. The door is open. Amen. We'll treat you real good. Amen. And we'll be happy to have you. We'll be as proud to have you as you will to have us. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for you. Sister Hudson.
Hallelujah, family. Hallelujah. We have Stephanie Davis.
Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord, Stephanie. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.